Yeah, there's absolutely nothing better than having the Animaniacs come on and do the opening for us. From the Burning Man and Monkey facility on sublevel 9, deep in Area 51, hello and welcome to TalkCast 307, this week's edition of Sci-Fi Saturday Night. Enjoying, actually not enjoying much of anything this week. I am the Dome. Joining the TalkCast tonight, some of the rest of the Gang of Five in the Acton TARDIS Renewal Complex. Our technical anarchist, chief button pusher, Kriana.
That's what she said.
Who may or may not be talking tonight, depending on her mood, her throat,
Depends how pissed off I get and how
her
many times the
temperature.
name Neil Gaiman is mentioned.
Okay, well, Java will start doing that almost immediately. From the stacks of her personal space in the Dank Dungeons Industrial Film Trailer Review Board, friend of robots everywhere with her nemesis, the mute button, it's Zombrarian.
Expected Kriana's part to take longer, because usually it does, and I'm still chewing, excuse me.
Returning from a 3-week retreat at the Simi Valley Smelling Salts Adventure Camp and Wildlife Sanctuary, man who wonders why green is a color, not a pronoun, our Midwestern correspondent, the guy who likes shiny stuff, awake by Java. Awake by Java.
I sorry, I was busy reading the new article about what Neil Gaiman said about the Lucifer television show. And I really think that he hit the nail on the head with it.
What did he say?
That's okay. We'll talk about it later.
I want to know. What did he say?
No,
give
me
a
plenty of time to bring up Neil Gaiman's name 5 or 6 more times, which is, like, guess what you were doing there, Java? Nice job.
Yeah.
Our guest tonight from the web comic Witchlight, Jesse Sabarsky. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you.
Don't be embarrassed or intimidated by the witty banter that's gone on to this point. We're all just basically trying to piss each other off, and Java's done an admirable job of it.
I'm not trying to piss anyone off.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
I just am that way.
Perhaps later on in the show, and we're hoping that will actually happen, Christopher Golden will be joining us to talk about final days of the My Peculiar Family Kickstarter and his and congratulate him for his nomination for a Stoker Award for Seize the Night, which is an amazing, amazing book. But we'll get a chance to talk about that hopefully later. Jesse, we met you, actually, one of us met you. Actually, it was Sir Sarah Lady Knight met you at Topoticon, which was a very, very small convention in Western Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
How was that for you?
It was all right. I mentioned that I listened to your episode with at Maja, and she talked a little bit about Topoticon, and for the most part, I agreed with her analysis of it, that it was like, okay, it was a first-year con, and it was, some things could have been done a little better, but it was, they also took very good care of us. I have never been given so many free snacks at a convention. It
there you
amazing.
Go. Because, you
so
know, after
they
about
kept us
6 hours,
alive.
Yeah, after about 6 hours, like, the mouth gets dry, and you want to just hurt somebody for a bottle of water.
Oh yeah, we did not have to hurt anyone. They were
perfect.
They were on top of it.
So you do small conventions, large conventions?
Kind of a mix. I do basically anything I can drive to. So it's like I started out doing smaller ones in Ohio, like Space in Columbus and Genghis Khan in Cleveland. But I also now go to like TCAF and SDX are big ones for me.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. So talk to us a little bit about Witchlight.
Well, I pitch it as a shoujo adventure story, which means that there's swords and fighting and magic, but there's also a lot of blushing and feeling.
Nice.
So all the good stuff.
So how long have you been doing the comic?
Coming up on about 2 years so far. It was originally supposed to be one issue for the first TCAF that I tabled at a couple of years ago. Honestly, I did an art test for a job, and they wanted, it was very open-ended, and I came up with this character that I ended up falling in love with, which ended up being Lilac, the witch character, and it just kind of went from there.
But what is it that made you decide to do the webcomic? Because webcomic is a particular dedication to a calendar more than anything else. It's like,
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't call it a webcomic because I mainly sell it through print. I don't have like a dedicated site for it. I'm very much from the indie comics self-publishing brand of comics, and I love a lot of webcomics, but I haven't made what I would term a webcomic yet.
So what you show, I guess, on your Tumblr are pages and panels, and then mm-hmm. Zap Books is your publisher?
Chat Books, yeah.
Chat. CCAP. I was never going to pronounce that correctly.
The person who runs it, their last name is Chapieski, which is the start of it is spelled CZAP, so Chap, and it's a pun because a chapbook is a thing, and yeah. But in my head, I do think of it as CZAP.
Yeah, because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Chapbooks is my distributor and soon to be publisher, because they're putting together the entire thing towards the end of this year. I just post previews and bits and pieces on my Tumblr as promotional kind of things.
So how did you meet up with these guys? That's these app books or chat books?
Honestly, at that tiny convention in Columbus, they came by and got some of my stuff years and years ago, and we became friends, and at some point along the way, they're like, hey, I have a shop, and I want to put your stuff in it. And I was like, hot dang. Yes, please.
Yeah, what a horrible... what a simply terrible idea to come up with. You know, I have... you have a shop. Why don't you sell it? How do you make your living outside of the art and artisan industry, or is that your...
Oh, I have a day job. A 30-hour a week kind of an exciting thing, but...
Gotcha. So this
has exciting parts, but
this is kind of your real world as opposed to the unreal world that you have to work in. And on top of that, you have an Etsy store with necklaces and earrings and really, really interesting things that you see in the comic to some degree. I'm sorry?
Go ahead. I'm not quite sure what you're referring to.
Well, I'm kind of looking at the nanoblock earrings and the bottle charm necklaces. I thought were really, really cute.
Well, thank you.
So between selling the comic and selling the stuff in your Etsy store, it becomes this labor of love for you.
Sorry, could you say that again?
Between selling the comic books and your Etsy store, this is kind of your labor of love.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I get some pocket money from those things, and I do like having my fingers in a lot of pies because it's nice because, once in a while I get more from it than not, but yeah, not, as they say, not quitting my day job anytime soon.
Yeah, we know that feeling. Absolutely, we know that feeling. So, how many conventions did you do last year?
Last year, let's see here. off the top of my head, I'd say between 5 and 6, something like that, maybe 7. I did a lot last year.
And you're out of the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's unfortunately a lot of travel involved for you for that as well. For some,
yeah, sometimes.
I mean, from Chicago to Western Massachusetts was adding certainly not a lot of fun for a trek like that.
Yeah, that one was like 14, 16 hours. But the nice thing was that it was nice and also stressful, but SPX and Patacon were like back-to-back weekends because I had friends who, in Chicago who also were doing both of those shows. So we all just piled in a car and drove to SPX and stayed there. And in between, we went to like a middle of nowhere campsite, stayed in a cabin for a week, and then drove the rest of the way to Topatacon, and were very sleepy, but we made it.
It seems to me there's a story right there. There's an absolute story in that. So when you get to a larger convention, as opposed to the smaller ones, which actually are pretty much kind of like art shows and art fairs to a large degree. And they can be very relaxing and very enjoyable. The stress of the larger cons, what's the difference in it for you in terms of your sales and how people respond to your work?
I think, honestly, like you were talking about the stress of it, for me, I think smaller shows are more stressful.
Really?
Yeah, because like, for me, I'm generally a quiet, reserved kind of person, but if I get that big show, like constantly people all the time coming by energy, then I can ride that for like as long as I need to and just kind of like reciprocate that energy. But on a small show where you could like sit there for an hour and talk to one person, it's like, oh, I need a nap. I'm like, oh no, I'm worrying about like, will I break even? Like, can I afford to spend $10 on lunch? I don't know. And like at a larger show, I'm just like, I have $100. This is amazing.
So your art and your books and your comic is very different, very original. And I honestly don't know how to describe it, and I didn't understand how you described it, but I you get mesmerized in the detail of these wonderfully twisted little stories. How has the response been from people at conventions?
It's honestly been pretty good. A lot of people have specifically given me compliments on my art, which I'm always very surprised and grateful for because I consider myself kind of an average-ish artist, and like especially with the earlier issues of Witchlight, where like part of why I started it was like, oh, I haven't drawn human beings in a real long time. Maybe I should learn how to do that again. And so people will come by and open the first one and be like, oh, this is really good art. I'm like, oh, thank you. Not like, not to knock on myself too much, but it's like, it's nice to have that, you know, reaffirmation.
Yeah, it's always nice to have the work validated. So where are you moving into? What new things have you got in the works?
For right now, I'm pretty much like 24/7 Witchlight because Chapbooks gave me a deadline for the rest of it, and I am generally kind of a slow worker, and so it's going to be a little pinchy, but I can do it. So like that's my main focus. I've got some other stuff maybe down the line that I'm interested in doing, but for now it's, I can't think about it too much because I'll get distracted.
You have to deal with the deadline. And what are you looking forward to for conventions in this coming convention season?
I'm definitely doing Chicago Zine Fest, which is nice because I won't have to travel. Maybe doing Cake, hopefully, which is also Chicago and I won't have to travel. possibly TCAF, but probably not. I'll chat books will be there, so hopefully the new issue will be there with them. And then, let's see here, I'll probably do Genghis Khan in Ohio again, and then everything else is a little up for grabs at this point.
So for those of us in the Northeast, we're not going to get a chance to see you this summer.
Probably not in person. Chat Books goes like every dang place. They're based out of Providence, Rhode Island, so they're a little closer to you. So they will definitely have my stuff, but probably not my face.
So if there was one thing that you could impart to the listeners about your work, what would it be? How self-effacing is that question? I kind of like it, but I'm not sure you will.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Let's see here. I would say...
Give them something to hang on to about what it is about your work.
I mean, I think it's definitely not what you would normally expect from, like, a fantasy adventure, you know, magic and swords kind of thing. Like, it's definitely not like a Tolkien kind of, like, elves and dwarves kind of deal. There's much more influence from, like, Miyazaki movies, and, like, there's a lot of stopping and looking at things, and here's some plants, aren't they nice?
Yeah.
And then also there's, like, magic and sword fights, so just maybe, like, people who aren't necessarily, you know, so attracted to traditional fantasy, I think, would enjoy it.
Can we honestly say that it's something very, very different? And very original, and quite fun.
I hope so.
Me too, because I really, really enjoyed it. I've got to tell you, it's fun when one of us goes to one of these conventions and comes back and says to the rest of us, "You'll never guess what I found." Uh-huh. And this was one of those. Jesse Sabarsky is the artist, creator, artisan of an incredible comic called Witchlight. Thank you to Sir Sarah for bringing her to our attention. And in the show notes, we will have links to every possible place where you can find her stuff. And Jesse, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And if you want to hang around, it's time for the news.
I think I'm going to go eat some dinner, but thank you.
Nice going, Kriana. Hardly a hesitation there at all. Okay, Kriana, Zombarian, Java, where do we want to start?
That's just it. I hate Neil Gaiman.
Well, Java. then you'd be happy to know that the Lucifer television show isn't really based on his comic book, except for the fact that
he didn't actually write the Lucifer standalone comic.
No, but he created the character in Sandman. But he was
barely in there. He was like,
it's true, but the comic book kind of echoed the way that Lucifer acted in the Sandman comics, and it was, you know, as is Gaiman's style, you know, kind of a shifty morality type thing. What would happen if Lucifer up and left hell and moved to LA? But the show seems, and I haven't seen it, it seems to be a lot more monster of the week. Oh, witty guy, very dark.
It's not monsters.
It's not
exactly.
Monster of the week.
People are the real monsters.
It's a police procedural.
It pretty much
with
is.
A devil.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's that makes it sound awful, kind of like when you describe Firefly as a space western. People right. are like, okay.
Seriously, we've had enough of those. Thank you. Or Star Trek is Wagon Train to the Stars. But no, I've got to tell you, Lucifer had me in the first 5 minutes of the first episode because it's just this wonderful, charming devil, as Lucifer should be. And the scripts are very smart, very sophisticated, good writing, great dialogue, and some of the best secondary characters around.
Like her kid?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the kid is adorable.
The kid is amazing, and he hates the kid so much.
And the kid loves him.
And the kid loves him.
And it's, here's the thing, though. It's like, it's comedic that he doesn't like the kid.
But yeah, absolutely.
They don't play it like, oh, she's going to win him over sometime. He's just like, I am utterly indifferent to you and a little bit scared. Can you go away? And she's like, you're cool.
Kind of like if a spider thought I was awesome. I'm just sort of like, I hate you. Please get away from me.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And it's just, it, be, even though it's procedural, and it is, that's how it's written.
So far.
It's smart. And it doesn't fall for the obvious tropes and the obvious cul-de-sacs of this is where everybody goes.
The last episode, I learned that street gangs in L.A. really sound like they should be male strip clubs.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought they made these gang names up.
No, they don't.
They did not.
She was saying to me, she wasn't really paying attention, and then Kriana turns to me in the middle of the show. She's like, what are they talking about? And I was like, gang war. And she's like, oh, I thought they were talking about strippers.
Come on, tell me the Asian boys is not somewhere you go for a good time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, there are some gang name generators out there. I know because I ran a
whoa, Googling this right now.
I ran a Fate game of it was basically the Warriors, but
yeah.
They had to fight their way down, and it gave me some great names like the Golden Lords. Just really the Hot Boys, yeah, Armenian one. Might. Anyway, there's some good ones out there.
So, Kriana, if you find the gang name generator, pop that in, and we'll
I'm not finding a good one, but okay. There's a lot of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Asian boys. Seriously, I forget what the other gang was called, but it was
Latin Kings.
Hello, come on, come on.
The Latin Kings sounds like a Cuban band.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, except
with strippers.
The Latin Kings are kind of like the Crips and the Bloods. If you need a gang, you just use the Latin Kings.
If you need a gang in the neighborhood, oh, sorry.
Who are you going to call?
Green Slime Twinkies. That's
some
who you're going to call.
Strippers.
No, Asian strippers. All right. What?
Making the segue to Green Slime Twinkies. The first Ghostbusters.
That wasn't a segue. That was like hitting you over the head with a subject change. So.
Okay. Hitting you over the head with a subject change.
There you go. Let's call a spade a club.
A shovel. Absolutely. The first piece of merch to come out of the new Ghostbusters movie reboot is the Green Slime Twinkies.
Yes! So excited.
I knew you would be. I had that feeling. I absolutely had that feeling.
I will eat it.
I will get them for you. How's
for
that?
For science and the good of humanity, I will eat that.
I'll totally eat them too. I'm excited.
I mean, remember how awesome Slimer High C was?
Yeah, it was.
Are you kidding me? Obviously.
So I'm imagining that this is like a Twinkie with Slimer High C flavored filling.
Oh, that would be like a hell of its own. That would be awesome.
That's what I'm imagining right now. It's going to keep me up at night.
Oh, good Lord.
I just learned how to cliche again. Cliche.
Yeah, that sounds really not like what you just actually did.
Also, I got a giant pinky ring. This just sounds awesome.
Kriana's playing video games, everyone.
So are you.
Yes, we are.
Like, you thought I didn't notice you were in there, too.
I knew you did. I'm just saying that you're the one saying words like cliche.
What's wrong with cliche?
It sounds like queef.
Not really.
Only to some of us, evidently.
Only to you.
All right.
Now anyway. I'm going to make snowboards so I don't have to do the orc chasm.
Okay, stop.
No.
Because no one knows what you're talking about. Java does. Point.
I do.
Yay, Java!
But I still have not.
Are you serious?
I haven't gotten to the naughty sorceress. I can't help it. I've been very busy.
Ugh. You're so lazy.
And I'm out of meat.
Oh, I'll send you some. I will freaking hold your hand through it if you want.
Oh, good Lord.
No, I won't.
I'm imagining this conversation as someone who does not play Kingdom of Loathing, and it's hilarious.
I'm out of meat. Call the Asian boys.
And the Latin king.
Yeah.
And Kriana will hold your hand through the experience.
With the naughty sorceress.
With the naughty sorceress, even though you're out of meat.
I'm going to send you some meat right now in a gift package.
No, before you do that, talk to us about the Discovery of Witches TV series.
I have nothing to say about it.
Why not? You're the one who brought it.
Well, look. Guess what? I read a headline. You could do that too.
Read a headline. That's so sad.
I know. Hey, I contributed. That was my contribution this week.
Yeah, that's like that one in a room, man.
And also bitching about Neil Gaiman while liking Lucifer. I should send Java something with this too. Muppet Feet. What should I send him?
Never say that again.
What?
My other name.
Oh, I forgot who I was talking to.
Yeah. So I have something to talk about on our podcast.
Okay. Which
is still a podcast that we talk about other things.
Maybe
and
a bottle of Nor whiskey?
Don't play Kingdom of Loathing. And talk about it in
Bowl
real time.
Of nuggets?
Stop. Oh my god, you're so annoying and you're gonna make me crazy and then I'm gonna
make you crazy.
I'm gonna put your hand in a bowl of water.
Have you guys seen the new Flash costume?
No.
Okay, so there's a Flash costume and it got leaked because someone was posting photos of the costumes for the Batman Superman movie or something like that. Or maybe it was the Suicide Squad movie. I don't remember.
Call the Asian boy.
And and in the background there is a Flash costume, and it's probably a DC film Flash costume because he's probably going to make an appearance in something. They've been talking a lot about Justice League, how that's going to start filming.
Starts filming in April.
Can't do that without the Flash.
Yeah, so it's a big departure from the Flash costume that Grant Gustin is wearing in the TV show, because that's much more, you know, flat and matte, and this is very shiny. Yeah, so it could be a departure.
Sparkly, even.
I wish, because you know where that Flash costume would fit in.
Where?
The Asian Boys Strip Club.
Yes.
All right, I've decided. I'm sending you 100,000 meat and a Fleetwood mac and cheese.
You're a darling.
I'm not sending you anything because you need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
I'm just enabling you.
Defeat the naughty sorceress on your own.
Yeah, she's not that hard, especially when you turn her into a sausage. Call the Asian boy.
So I have something I wish Sarah was here to talk about with me. I guess I'll settle for you nerds.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
The Welcome to Night Vale creators are always really busy.
Yeah.
And right now, not only are they writing a sequel to their novel, which was awesome, not only are they launching their own new podcast platform, which will, their thinking is going to host various podcasts that are similar to Welcome to Night Vale.
Which isn't us, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, no, we are not similar, because we're not a fiction podcast.
We could
no,
be. I like Neil Gaiman. Look, we're fictional.
Anyway, but in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, when you guys all listen to this, they will be, the creator of Welcome to Night Vale, one of them, Joseph Fink, is launching a new podcast, and it's called, Alice Isn't Dead. And
yes, she is. I killed her.
It's a road trip mystery podcast, but that's not the coolest thing about it.
What's the coolest thing about it?
About it? So try again.
Well, you know what? Go.
I don't understand what this is all about. Who cares about Alice?
Because it's Neil Gaiman.
Well, if he gave me
is it really?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay, good.
I got her attention though.
It's a mystery, and a truck driver, her wife goes missing, and the truck driver, not the wife, goes on a road trip to find her.
Okay, right? So you're saying I should like it because there's a gay couple in it?
No, I'm saying you're probably not going to like it because you have very little taste.
or because it's boring as fuck.
But Night Vale has a really, really strong history with having what I like to call low-key gay characters, where they actually have gay characters who, you know, are other things. Some people, Ryan Murphy, are not good at this. But Welcome to Night Vale has been really good at it. So having a new podcast where the main character is not only a queer woman, but a queer woman of color, I think is going to be really cool.
Still not going to listen to it.
Yeah, because you're nasty and...
I'm not nasty. I don't have to like it.
You don't have to like it. You don't have to say anything either.
It's about a truck driver.
It's a road trip mystery fiction podcast.
You said that already.
And she encounters haunted towns and conspiracy theory towns and all kinds of cool stuff.
And it's a podcast.
It's a podcast. Mm-hmm.
How long are the episodes, do they say?
I'm guessing it will be similar to Night Vale. 45 minutes or so.
Nice. And having listened to a little of Welcome to Night Vale, but not a lot of it, you know, they're good production values. They're neat scripts.
Yeah. Much better than ours.
I didn't know we had a script.
No, we don't have production values.
Ah! I understand.
Shut up. Our production values are fine.
Here we go again. You know who likes our production values? Neil Gaiman.
No, he doesn't. Sorry. He told me.
So the group known as Bad Wolf, which is Jane Tranter and Julie Gardner out of the UK, Bad Wolf Productions, have gotten the rights to Deborah Harkness's historical fantasy novel, The Discovery of Witches, which evidently has sold a ton of books, which I was unaware of. And they are making a series for the BBC of it.
Who is typing, "I will kill you"?
Oh, you know it's me.
Who else has the keyboard that clicks like that?
I have the clickiest keys, baby.
We know. We
just
know.
Call the Asian boys. This is never going to get old. My goal in life is to meet them one day. No, it's not.
And the other thing that Tranter and Gardner are doing is the BBC and New Line Cinema looks like they're doing a movie of the adaptation of Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials.
Oh, Jesus. Again?
We talked about this already.
We did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Talk about it. I don't
Java and I had a long, in-depth conversation about our hopes and dreams.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So there's more cool stuff coming from Bad Wolf.
Yay.
So there's that.
There's that.
This is what happens when we plan for two guests and we only have one.
we end up with one or two things happening. Either we sit around and struggle, or we do a short show. So well, why don't we look... Yes?
Well, we still haven't talked about the Saturn Awards.
Oh, I mean, never mind.
But
you're right, we haven't, actually.
I didn't realize there was such a thing.
The Saturn Awards are an incredible fantasy science fiction...
You know, award. Actually, Zombrain and I were having a discussion about various book awards the other day. What was the award that we were talking about before?
I don't know.
The Newbery one? Was that it?
Oh, yeah, we were talking about the drama with this year's Newbery.
This was like way the other day. This was like a month
ago. Yeah, right after I went... Right after the Newbery Award was announced.
And I have a habit of completely avoiding any book with, like, an award on the front of it because I'll hate it. And then Zombrarian was like, no, I know you've read a bunch of these books and you've really liked them. And I was like, okay, let's look up the list of past winners. And out of the past 50 years or so of books, there was maybe, what, one? And it didn't actually win?
There were three.
But none of them actually won.
Yes, one of them had actually
okay,
won.
Okay, so one of them. But still. So I don't put much stock in these crappy awards.
Well, okay,
I don't put
so,
much stock in your taste, so.
So for the Saturn Awards, let's see how Kriana feels about these. Best Film Director, Guillermo del Toro for Crimson Peak.
Did you just say Guillermo?
Alex Garland, Ex Machina. Which was a decent movie.
Didn't see it.
George Miller, Mad Max Fury Road.
Didn't see it.
Ridley Scott, The Martian. Terrific movie.
Didn't see it.
Colin Trevorrow, Jurassic World.
Definitely will never see that one.
And here's the two you're never going to see. George Miller. Oh, I'm sorry. Peyton Reed for Ant-Man.
Nope.
That's and weird. Star Wars The Force Awakens, J.J. Abrams.
So I'm completely against all of those.
You liked Crimson Peak.
I did, but I don't think it deserved an award. I mean, it was entertaining. Wait, what was the award for again?
Best Film Director.
No. The set dresser.
Ew, Chris, are you eating in your microphone?
No. I have a cough drop. I'm sorry. My throat hurts.
Okay.
The set dresser or the, like, set designer, costume designers, deserve a million awards for
the
that.
The cinematographer
one.
For Crimson
yeah,
Peak
sure,
deserves,
totally.
Like, a million awards.
But, yeah, whatever on the rest of it.
Best Fantasy TV Series. Game of Thrones.
Cut!
Fuck you.
Haven. Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Norrell.
Only
Outlander.
A French and a douche.
The Muppets.
Oh my god, kill me now.
The Magicians and the Shannara Chronicles.
The Magicians?
Has Shannara started?
Yeah, actually it has.
Oh, I'm going to have to.
I haven't
that.
Heard of The Magicians. What's that?
That actually looked pretty good too. It's basically.
I'm interested.
It looked a little bit like a knockoff Harry Potter, but maybe a little bit more adult. I can't really remember.
Ooh, a Siffy show. All right. Let's add this to Sick Beard and see how it goes.
Best action.
So wait a minute. Thriller. Go back for a minute. Let's analyze those for a minute. Those were all fantasy?
Those are listed under best fantasy TV.
Okay, first of all, The Muppets is not the best of anything. That show is a fucking hack.
And no, it isn't. It's fun.
Yes, no, it's not funny at all. And
I didn't say it was
fun.
I said
no.
It was fun.
No.
I watched the first episode, and we really didn't like it. Mostly because it wasn't... I understand what they were trying to do with it, but the great thing about The Muppet Show was the thing that is so great about Pixar movies and some Disney movies. They're things that adults and kids can watch together and have enjoy. Completely different experiences because the humor is written so well, and you don't have to worry about watching that show with your kid.
You have right. to worry now.
Yeah, the new Muppet Show is definitely for people who watched The Muppet Show as kids and are now adults. Yeah. And
it's not a kid show anymore.
But it's really two-dimensional.
And there's no subtlety at all. There's it is simply a wild goose chase for the stupidest laughs they can get. And so I don't have any time for it.
It's a piece of crap compared to The Muppet Show and even Muppets Tonight.
It's kind of a Three's Company with puppets.
It's like the Gonzo nipple joke on the fucking Wizard of Oz.
Muppet
like,
Wizard of Oz, yeah.
Yeah, like, fuck that bullshit. Like, it's not, like, I wouldn't want my kid watching that and nipple joke. Like, okay. Now you
can kind of do without that. You're right. No, but...
And...
Okay.
There's no wit. They've just taken the soul out of the Muppets. It's like they're walking puppets. They've taken, and also, as Sombrian pointed out, whoever they've got doing the voice of Robin this week was horrible.
Yeah, it was really bad.
So I think we can all agree
changed
that...
the entire character, which pissed me off.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, forget this wise, you know, semi-child... character that they've had going for Robin for forever.
We're gonna make
this one's just gonna be naive and dumb.
Yeah.
So the Muppets is a piece of garbage and does not deserve an award. What else was in there? Haven.
Yeah.
I guess that's fantasy.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is a ball of crap.
I don't know. I still like watching it. I
did not enjoy the TV show. I did not enjoy the books.
I really liked the books, but I mean,
it was weird. I read all of the books because I couldn't stop. But once I was done, I felt dirty and ashamed.
Yeah,
it was like eating an entire box of ice cream.
I was just gonna say it was like eating an entire box of Girl Scout cookies.
No, you don't feel dirty and ashamed about that. That is just an accomplishment.
I don't know. The problem for me is, well, we could talk about Game of Thrones forever, but
we don't have to. What else was there?
Okay, let's move on to the next category. Best action thriller TV series. Bates Motel.
That's still on?
Yeah. Yes. And it's still good.
Did we ever finish the first season of that?
Yeah, we did.
Blind Spot.
I really liked that show.
Interesting show. Yeah.
Very good show, yeah.
Fargo.
Never seen it. What's it about?
Fargo.
What's that?
Hannibal.
A town.
Okay.
Hannibal,
never get through the first episode of Hannibal.
Hannibal is one of those ones where the cinematography is gorgeous, but I couldn't, I'm having trouble getting past the first episode. And I feel like I should like it, and I want to like it.
I don't even want to like it, but...
Yeah. But you're not a horror fan.
No, well...
Like, it's good,
like,
and it's...
Cannibals.
But you see here, Bates Motel, watched it, like it. Blind Spot, watched it, like it. Fargo, not a fan. Hannibal, not a fan at all. Last Ship, seriously? That's a thing?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's kind of incredibly dumb. And... The Librarians.
Yay! Love that show!
Deserves an award.
Yes, they should give that show an award right now.
Despite the fact,
it's the absolute winner for this category.
No, it's The Librarians.
Mr. Robot.
No, fuck that shit. It's The Librarians.
It's The Librarians.
No, it's Mr. Robot.
I've never even heard of that.
Mr. Robot? You haven't heard of Mr. Robot?
No, but no.
Didn't we talk about Mr. Robot? Mr. Robot is fantastic. I've not seen The Librarians.
It's phenomenal, even though it's called The Archivists.
Yes, we know.
But I need to reiterate it every time.
I know. So I'm just reading the synopsis of Mr. Robot, and I'm already bored.
Oh, no, it's really good.
But no, you don't understand. It's the librarians. They're whimsical, and they're witty, and they're wonderful.
They're dumb and stupid.
They're not dumb. They're super smart.
Oh, the plots are just paper thin bullshit.
No, they're not.
Oh, my God.
They're not. They are if you're not paying attention.
Well, if it held my attention.
It's a multiple-level show, again.
Yeah, and all of them are bad.
No, they're not.
This looks like Warehouse 13.
It kind of is a little bit.
It kind of is, yeah.
It's got the same tone.
But maybe more fantasy-ish.
Yeah, and the...
But see...
It runs parallel, and the librarians actually are... It's the TV show is based on a movie series, a made-for-TV movie series that happened well before Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely got its own.
It also has a faint wafting of Buffy.
And you know what? It's also got another faint wafting of Doctor Who.
And Indiana Jones.
And here's why.
And all the things.
Because the library is alive, basically.
Yeah.
And it's kind of their TARDIS.
It's a character.
And it's awesome.
Well, it sounds good, but I know I like Mr. Robot.
Okay, liking it is fine. I don't sure it deserves an award. Maybe
okay,
I'll watch
can
it.
We agree, though, that Mr. Robot sounds like a children's TV show about a vibrator?
Only to you, evidently.
But instead, it's about an antisocial computer programmer, which sounds way too much like my life. So,
yes, yeah, but he's struggling. He struggles with. You should watch it. It's a very short show.
Seen Silicon Valley. I can only watch it in very short.
This is not Silicon Valley.
It's just like my life. It's like literally my life, and I'm like, God, I hate myself.
No. This is the Silicon Valley. Is the Big Bang Theory?
John is Ehrlich.
Right.
The problem. The Mr. Robot.
Remember
is,
that not everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah. I know. That's why it's an in joke.
Yeah, anyway, we don't have those.
So what's the next category that you want to talk about?
Best superhero adaptation.
The Flash.
Flash is there. Arrow is there.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Arrow's
not actually that
good.
I haven't seen
Legends of Tomorrow.
It's okay. It's not great, but it has a lot.
Don't even know, Barry.
It has a lot of potential. No. Gotham is there, which I've really come to love.
See, I told you you were going to like Gotham.
Why didn't you just know you loved Gotham? It's amazing.
And Agent Carter's there. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is there. And Supergirl is there.
Do you remember me having to convince
Dome to even give Gotham a shot? Yes.
Yeah, no, you absolutely were right.
Yep.
You were absolutely right.
And I was right about that episode of The Walking Dead, too.
Stay in the house, Carl.
Carl! Get back in the bed!
That just sounded wrong.
Don't do that.
Creepy jar dome.
Don't do that. Dollar in the creepy jar.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in this list, and I really don't care about most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much kind of the...
Anything else?
Whole idea.
It seems like things that are expected, and then maybe one or two things that are actually good... But mostly things that are expected, and the expected things are going to win.
Could be. Anything else we want to go through? Anything else we want to talk about?
No, let's.
Well, I want to take just a second to congratulate Chris Golden, who did get a Stoker nomination for his anthology Seize the Night.
Congratulations,
Chris. It's a well-deserved nomination. And I also want to mention to everybody out there that we have 5 days left in the Kickstarter.
Please
take a minute to go down and check it out. And
you don't even have to go down anywhere. You can actually just click on the link at Kickstarter and
look for My Peculiar Family, and there we are.
Yay!
So, Kriana, crank up the music and we'll do an ending. What do you say?
I say I just finished Twin Peaks, so hell yeah.
So next week, we have author Rob Smales to talk about his book, Echoes of Darkness. After that, who the hell knows? We don't know. You don't know. We'll just find something to talk about.
Ask the Booking Monkey.
Sci-Fi Saturday Night is the official podcast of Boston Comic-Con, Granite Con, booksandbooze.com, and comicarthouse.com. Visit Comic Art House for the best deals on original art from dozens of your favorite artists. Tonight, outro music is provided by Lawrence Made Me Cry. Check out more of their grooves at lawrencemademecry.com. There's some cool new music there. Tonight's intro music is provided by Rob Watts. Find more of his creations at robwattsonline.com. Dome? Why, yes, Dome. How are you?
Nice.
Hey, I'm reading the script. I want to thank our guest tonight, Jessie Zabarsky, for talking about her webcomic and her artisanship and what it's like to be one of those artisans at the Artist Alley in conventions all over the country. It was really nice talking to you. We'll have links to all her stuff. It's a shame we missed Chris tonight. I wanted to talk about all kinds of stuff, but we'll have him on again soon. I also want to thank our cast for joining us tonight. From the Act and Time Vortex, Sweetheart of the Soundboard, Kriana, and the Woman of World, Zombrarian, thank you very much, ladies.
You're welcome.
Back from the shadows and into the Captain Crunch again. Thank you, Java.
Hey, Neil Gaiman has just been talking about his new book.
You know what?
I know you're lying. So.
Could you give him a shoot him an email and we'll book him for next week? This is cool. Dome saying Terry and Jeannie. Shared pain is lessened, shared joy increased. Thus do we all refute entropy. Good night, everybody.